We talk a lot on this podcast about chess improvement, but when it comes to improving your hiring processes, Indeed is the platform you need. Indeed has over 350 million global monthly visitors, and it has a matching engine that helps you find quality work candidates fast. You can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Years ago, when I was running a chess teaching business, I found it hard to find good help, and I had to go through a lot of back and forth to even screen potential candidates. Indeed allows you to do those things efficiently in one place. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed for hiring, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of Perpetual Chess will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility if you go to Indeed.com/chess. Just go to Indeed.com/chess right now, and you'll be supporting our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast, Indeed.com/chess. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Johnson, and this is the Perpetual Chess Podcast. On Perpetual Chess, I have weekly conversations with the chess world's best players, promoters, and educators about their lives, careers, current projects, and best practices. For more information, go to perpetualchesspod.com. I'm here with International Master Anna Rudolph, chess player, announcer, reporter. What else, Anna?
I don't know myself. I think it's just difficult to find the description for the jobs that exist nowadays in the chess world and in general in the world. So I do a bit of everything, I guess.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on, Anna. I originally asked Anna to come on in January, and she, at the time, mentioned that she was going to be pretty busy in January, which usually if I ask a guest that and they say they're busy, it means no thank you. But then Anna... But then, Anna, you proceeded to be on every chess show that I could ever imagine in January. Every time I logged onto the internet, there you were. So you actually were really busy.
Yeah, I do tend to say the truth. I guess you mean that I was at the Tata Steel Chess Tournament, also streaming the Pro Chess League, which I'm still doing, of course. It's a really exciting month. The finals will be at the end of March. And in general, I'm quite busy, but I'm really glad that I could make it to your show. I have listened to several episodes, and I'm impressed by your work, so it's an honor for me to be here.
Okay, well, thank you. And so how did you get into announcing chess, Anna?
Good question. I was thinking the other day, because I thought that you might ask me, and maybe I should know the answer. I started working for Chess24 4 years ago. So the site was launched 3 years ago, and we started working for the company roughly a year before, so that there would be content on the website when they launch it. And actually, that was like a horrific memory, the first recording days. The whole experience of being in front of the camera without having any experience of being in front of the camera. You can imagine, you're in the studio, it's a green box, and you record yourself, basically. So there's no one around. Maybe it's better that no one is there. But still, you click on the record button, you start looking into the camera, and you try to say something smart, but you just black out. So I have had everything prepared. I always prepare everything. I try to write notes. I try to just somehow brainstorm what I'm going to say roughly. And I couldn't. The first recording days were just perhaps the worst experience of my life, because I had no idea how this should work. And I was struggling. I was trying to repeat and repeat, and I still don't say it properly, and repeat again. And it was in Spanish, so it wasn't even in my best language. I think my English is way better than my Spanish. So I was recording in Spanish first, and horrible times. But of course, I liked being there. I liked being in Hamburg, and then I got to know Sopico. And once we started working together, it was just way easier. So that's another story. But the beginnings were difficult, and I was not born to be in front of the camera. I think no one is. It's the practice that makes you be a good presenter, a good host, a good streamer.
Okay, well, I don't think anyone watching you now would know that. So,
You should watch my first videos. if you'd go on Chess24 and watch the first videos I produced, they are horrible.
Okay, maybe it'll be an inspiration for other people a little bit uncomfortable in terms of public speaking, which I think...
Everything, every skill is possible to learn. So please remember that I was really bad. I was shy. I was blacking out all the time. I was like nervous constantly, stressing out. And here I am enjoying commentary. I love being in front of the camera.
Good for you. And how did you latch on with Chess24? How did you start working with them even before they launched?
I knew David Martinez. He is the director of the Spanish part of Chess24. So we worked together before Chess24, and he knew that I'm supposed to be a hardworking person. So he hired me for Chess24, and initially I was going to record videos only in Spanish for beginner level. So my first videos are for the like how the pieces move, how is the chessboard, and sort of topics in Spanish. And then we were in Hamburg the same time, Sopico and I. She was recording in the mornings and I was recording in the afternoon and evening. So we were sharing the studio but never really coinciding there. We knew each other before, like from tournaments, so we would say hi, but frankly speaking, we thought that we didn't like each other. And they told us, okay, girls, would you like to try to record together in English? And it sounded like a great idea, but you know, you barely know the other person. And on top of that, you think that she doesn't like you. So we said yes, and we started talking to each other, and we realized that we were just so similar. We are like best friends ever since. We clicked from the first moment. The first videos we recorded are on Chess24, and they are way better than any other videos that we did alone. The Miss Strategy, Miss Tactics series. We recorded initially games by Kasparov and Karpov, just emphasizing the difference between the style of these two players. And we didn't need much preparation for those videos. It just worked out perfectly from the very beginning. I don't know how. I guess it means that we are so much in sync, the two of us. And as I said, we are best friends ever since. I can't wait to see her and visit her lovely baby boy, Daniel.
Nice. Yeah, and I think most listeners will know of Sopico, but just in case, can you say her full name? And we should mention that she's a great chess player in her own...
Go ahead. I always take it for granted that everybody knows that we are joined by the bones. It's Sopico Gramish. Really the lovely wife of Anish Giri.
Okay, and a great chess player in her own right.
Yeah, she's really strong. She made it to the top 16 at the World Women's Championship just now in Iran, and she's very strong. I'm lucky that whenever we play, she doesn't want to beat me. If not, perhaps I would lose.
So do you guys have grandmaster draws when you play?
Yeah, we can't really play against each other.
We
find it really difficult.
That's understandable. So are you playing much these days?
Not anymore. It's funny how I was thinking also the other day that you will probably ask me about my career as a chess player. And I was very much focused on chess from, let's say, age 10, 11 till last year. I attended the Olympic training camps every month. I had a personal trainer, and I was really motivated still last year. But in the summer, I played a very bad tournament, the European Women's Championship, and then I was not selected for the Olympic team, which sort of broke my final motivation.
Right.
And I'm more focusing more on streaming, on commentating, on reporting. So I'm trying to improve those skills more than my own opening skills, which are really, really bad.
Well, your enthusiasm for chess, I think, definitely comes through both in your broadcasts and your Twitter feed and everywhere else that your presence is known.
I still love chess, and I listened to your interview with Greg Shahadi, and I completely agree with him that those people who stop competing, it doesn't mean that they, or in this case now, we don't love chess anymore. We just perhaps don't find the time to participate in a 9-day tournament, or we find the games too long. Well, I still like classical games. I would not say that for myself, but I do agree that it's difficult to find personal motivation for lengthy tournaments that take a week, especially when you work already.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I still like to play, but, you know, it's a hobby, so there's only so much I can play. So when you're not, you live in Madrid, correct?
Yes, I do. I'm in Madrid right now, and the sun is shining, so I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good to me. It's dreary here in Pittsburgh, which is not unusual. So what do you do when you're not engaged in, a chess project? What do you do in your day-to-day life there in Madrid?
Oh, wow. Good question, because most of the things I do, or basically all the work I do, is related to chess. So I'm a freelancer and I collaborate with Chess24, with Chess.com, with ChessCast, and also the Judith Polgar's Chess Foundation. Individual tournaments like the Tata Steel Chess Tournament, so I'm always happy when an individual event approaches me and asks me to be their host, to be their reporter or commentator. And that kind of takes all my time. So one could think that I definitely have like a second career, but you would not imagine how much time it takes to be at all the major chess events and to do chess nonstop. So when I'm in Madrid and I'm not streaming or I don't have a live show, I don't have an event to cover, I just try to take some time for improving my skills. I'm constantly mad about going ahead. I'm like, when I do a show or when I do commentary, an interview, I'm never 100% satisfied with what I do, and I want to do it better the next day and the next day and the next day. So basically when I'm at home, I would watch like YouTube videos, TED Talks, I would watch interviews, I would go to my yoga lessons and my Zumba lessons, because it's not only about improving your presentation skills, your interviewing skills, but also I like to do physical exercise. I cook sometimes, which is kind of like my chess. I don't have a big repertoire in terms of like knowing recipes. So I was never good at like opening theory, and I'm not good at knowing recipes, but I'm very creative. And I just look in the fridge and see, okay, what do we have? And what would match with what? And somehow it turns out quite delicious. I don't know how.
No, good for you. I have kind of the opposite approach.
Really?
I'm more of a theoretician when it comes to cooking. I just follow the
totally
recipe.
And the opposite. And very pragmatic, only practical issues. And I was never good at memorizing data. I can't memorize numbers. Facts. I'm just very practical and creative, I think.
So, in Madrid, am I correct that you live with is it boyfriend or husband or fiance?
Boyfriend at the moment. Yes.
Because I read you're, as we publish this, there's also an interview with New in Chess, the wonderful chess magazine coming out, in which you mentioned that you hoped that your wedding day would be a great memory. So I wasn't sure if it was coming up or you're just putting pressure on him.
I'm putting pressure on him.
Okay. Well,
we've been together for three and a half years, and it's a very serious relationship. We live together, but I don't think that we are getting married right now. I just like to put pressure on him. That's okay. The correct way to put it, yes.
And he's a chess player, correct?
Yes, he's an international master. His rating is way higher than mine. I mean, he's 2450, but without doing anything. And for me, that's so frustrating. By not doing anything, I mean that he sometimes he had some training sessions, but he never took it seriously. So for him, it was a hobby. And as a hobby player, he's higher rated than me.
Right.
Me, who put all her life on chess. So I think he's just much smarter than I am. That must be the reason.
Well, yeah, maybe a better facility for chess, at least. I don't know if that means he's smarter generally, but I've certainly...
Yeah, he's a very good competitor. Whatever he does, he's really good at competing. He used to play football professionally. He plays paddle now, like tennis and... But whatever you can do with balls, like basketball even, just for hobby, he would do it.
And is he the reason that you live in Madrid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved to Spain before that, but right now we are living together in Madrid, yes. And I love Spain. I love Spanish culture, Spanish music, the food, the weather, of course, and Spanish people, especially him.
Yeah, I've never been to Madrid. I spent a few days in Barcelona, and I had the same impression.
Oh, Barcelona is great. I think as a tourist, I would suggest Barcelona. It's a lot nicer. I mean, in a way that it's much more special. It's more unique. I love Gaudi's architecture. I think I said that too in New in Chess. And Barcelona is just full of his architecture, the Casa Batlló, Casa Milà, the Sagrada Familia. I'm sure you visited it. And it's just, for me, when I was standing inside the Sagrada Familia, I could not imagine that this was possible for a church. I mean, that's a church that looks like not a church.
Yeah.
It's just such a wonderful artwork. And Barcelona is a really unique place that if you walk on the streets, there's no place in the world that looks like that. So I would suggest Barcelona for tourists. And if you want to live in Spain, Madrid is a great place. Everywhere there are parks. I love that. Madrid is actually one of the greenest capitals in the world. I think it's the second on the list. And it's true. There are parks everywhere, trees everywhere, and I just love nature. So I couldn't live in a big city without being surrounded by something green.
Yeah, it sounds, you paint a pretty picture of it. I'd definitely like to get there sometime.
You should, you should. And also the beach in Spain, of course, and the islands. So I generally recommend Spain.
So you've already mentioned Judit Polgár a couple times. And obviously, since you grew up in Hungary, you're in a sense in the shadow of the Polgárs. So could you talk a little bit about what the chess culture was like and what it's been like to work with Judit a little bit?
Oh, sure. It's amazing. And of course, I love talking about Judit because she is an extraordinary person. Going back in time when I was a child, of course, I looked up at all these Hungarian legends, starting with Lajos Portis, and Peter Lako, Judit Polgár, Zoltán Almási. I met them at Simons. I played against Lajos Portis when I was 9, and I beat him.
Oh, nice.
And I remember that he was furious. Because he thought that my dad was helping me. He couldn't believe that a 9-year-old girl would beat him. So, I mean, I don't think that he played perfectly against me. I don't think that he was focusing much on my game because, come on, it's just a 9-year-old little girl. So for sure, he didn't take that game too seriously, and that's why I won. But still, I just, that was maybe my highlight in terms of games against these Hungarian legends. Most of the time, I would just lose. I played later on, I think, maybe with Almási. I can't recall it exactly, but this was the highlight of my simuls. And I have a signature from all of them. I was really admiring them. And in 2008, I won the Hungarian Women's Championship for the first time, and with the first prize, you also got into the Olympic team, which for me was a huge step from being a cheerleader fan type of girl to actually being a teammate of these legends. So Peter Lika was there, Judit Polgár was there, Zoltán Almási was there, and I was like, oh my God, I'm having dinner with them. So, yeah, from being a fan, I suddenly became their teammate, and soon we developed a very friendly relation. I'm friends with most of them, and with Judit especially, we have a very close relation working, and also I think we have friends. I'm not sure that if she thinks of me the same way. We are not besties, but I love her. She's a great person, and often we have Skype conversations. Judith, Sophia, her sister, and myself, we are brainstorming ideas about her project, the Global Chess Festival, where I was helping her, and still this is an ongoing project. So we do talk a lot, and very often.
Well, that must be quite a privilege. So in exactly what capacity have you worked with her professionally?
It started last summer when I actually started working on her project on the Global Chess Festival. Before that, we were colleagues in a Hungarian TV show. I think this is a really cool stuff when you can put chess on TV, but it wasn't so successful. So, of course, we loved the idea of trying to create a chess TV program. Judith had a segment in it. I had another segment. We did it for a year, so it was a season on Hungarian National Channel. And from that moment on, of course, we talked even more. Once the TV show was over, we started discussing her chess festival, which is a yearly chess festival. Her chess festival started 10 years ago. It was a chess festival. Basically, it was a chess day for the three Polgar sisters. It was a day when the three sisters would get together and play a simul. You could take pictures with them, ask for their autograph. Since the three of them live in three different countries, it was quite a big thing for Hungarians that they can finally see the three sisters together back again. But through the years, it has developed into a worldwide festival. And of course, it's still built around Judith, but she wants it to be a wider message. And actually, the slogan is Chess Connects Us, which I think is a great message. And it basically wants to reflect that chess is a lot more than a board game. It's something that can actually unite people from different age groups, from different gender, from different countries, cultures, religion, language. It's a bridge between people who might not have anything else in common.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that appeals to me about chess, and that I enjoy with doing this podcast, just getting to hear little glimpses into different cultures that have to do with chess, but also touch on just life generally in different places. And I know that you've learned, how many languages do you speak, Anna?
I don't know how many I speak. I know how many I tried to speak. It started with, of course, English. That was my first foreign language. I also then studied German for 4 years. At the university, I studied Russian philology. And at the same time, I tried to study Finnish for a year, Finnish language. Then I started studying Spanish. And I still speak Spanish, luckily, since I live here. And I think I'm just a language fan in general. So I would try to learn a few words in any language where I am. For instance, I remember that I was playing the Greek league. I was, I think, 16. So I missed my flight, and I was stuck at the airport of Athens for like 7 hours at night. And I had to stay awake because I was alone. So I decided that perhaps it was a good idea to learn the Greek alphabet. And I just took a magazine that I found at the airport and started copying the letters and tried to figure out what is what. Since it had an English translation, I thought that it's not too bad. And yeah, I think by the end of those 7 hours waiting for my flight, I actually knew how the Greek alphabet worked.
You Europeans make us Americans look so bad when you speak so many languages.
Oh, don't think that. For instance, Spanish people don't really speak other languages much, or like French people. I mean, I don't want to, of course, apologies to any Spanish or French who speak many languages. But I know also a couple of people when I travel, and when you would go to a restaurant or a hotel and they don't speak to you in any other language besides their native language. So that's I don't think that we Europeans are a lot better at languages.
Well, you work harder at it, if not innately better at it.
I think Hungarians are forced to. I mean, what can you do with Hungarian language skills?
Yeah, sad, but probably true. So getting back to Hungary a little bit. So you started playing chess very young, and were a young talent, according to my research. It might be hard for you to compare across countries, but do you have a sense of how popular chess was in Hungary compared to other places and is? I mean, you mentioned the legendary players, but were there school programs for chess?
I think we do have a lot of chess tradition in Hungary. I don't know if it helped us, the young players, to become better. Perhaps yes, because we had role models. You are right that we had all these legends to look up at. We would also see them in person, so it wasn't like some faraway hero that we had, but we actually saw them in flesh, and we were inspired by actually meeting these players in person. Also, I remember I was studying from Portish's endgame book one summer because I felt like, okay, he's a person I met. I played against him in a simul, and he's got a great book, so why not study his book? Perhaps it's easier when there's such trusted chess tradition and that many chess clubs. And nowadays, I think it's getting more popular in every country, basically, luckily, thanks to the Chess in Schools project. So I'm really rooting for chess to be even more popular, not only for trying to be a chess professional. I mean chess as an educational tool for improving the academic skills of children.
Yeah, I believe in it as well, and I hope that most people who work in chess education and chess announcing and chess promoting believe in it, or else they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it really has a good future. I see it being implemented in many countries here around. It's already in the curriculum in Hungary, also in Spain. More and more schools are taking it into their regular lessons. So I was, before Chess 24, I actually worked at a school where chess is a subject. It's a school here in Madrid, nearby Madrid. And I was teaching in kindergarten so that the children, the five-year-olds, would know how the pieces move by the time they are in primary school. Because in primary school, they get notes. They do have exams on mating one, for instance. So it was cool to see that they do this, that it's part of the school curriculum.
Yeah, I know that chess.com has been doing some, and Chess Kid have been doing some promotion work trying to get it passed more. Here in the United States, chess is, like you said, it's getting more popular, but there's a lot of testing. So it's unfortunately a long bridge to cross to get them to actually have it accepted in the curriculum versus having mm-hmm. after-school programs and stuff like that. But we're working on it.
I think it would be great. It just has so many advantages and benefits for the children that I would really recommend every school to have it. I don't know if it should be obligatory, but if it's in just the extra curriculum, you should really promote it so that the parents realize that it has lots of benefits. If not, it would be just typical geek sport.
Yeah, I think Nazi Pekidzi said that in Georgia it's an elective. So it is in the curriculum, but it's not mm-hmm. it's not like you have to do it. And I think that's a good setup.
Yes, I would also go for that if I was a school director.
Yeah, and not to get too far off topic, but with what's happening with like the automation of jobs and stuff like that, with robots taking over the world.
It's scary.
Yeah, but counterintuitively, I think that chess is actually a better educational tool in light of that because it teaches dynamic thinking. And
yes,
we don't
exactly. Yeah, that's what Judith is also doing. Besides the chess festival, she has a program called Chess Palace. And what they do is that they use chess as a tool. So she is emphasizing that the ultimate goal of the course is not that the children learn how to play chess. They use chess as a tool to improve academic skills. And I think that's just wonderful when you can actually do something great through chess in a digital age when all the kids' eyes are glued to the screen, the tablets, smartphones, and so on. I do that myself, but I try to hide my phone from time to time because it's addictive.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle. I'm right there with you. You are the second woman guest I've had on the podcast. I've tried to have a few more. I'm a feminist, I think it's safe to say, and I hope that, you know, I'm one of the many people that wishes that more girls and women would pursue chess. Do you have any advice to young girls or ideas for how we can help to level the gender imbalance in chess?
It's a difficult question. Of course, I would love to see more girls participating, and I hope that with my presence and also Sopiko and all the other great show hosts and commentators that are there among the women players, I hope that we also encourage girls to take up chess just by being on the screen, and they see us and they see that, oh, there's a girl who also plays chess and she talks about chess and she thinks that chess is cool. And so it's not a nerdy game, it's also for girls. I hope that we are actually projecting this message, and I really root for girls to take up chess. Makes you smarter.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's I think you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
There's something, you know, I teach a lot of, as you mentioned, like primary schools, I teach a lot of young kids, and it's interesting to me that even if you just send letters home, like mm-hmm. kids who know nothing about chess, it's always more boys that sign up. So I don't know exactly what the source is, but it starts at a young age.
Yes, I think it's the image of chess. It really still is a man's world, the chess world, and it will take time to change this. But I hope that we are going in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that we are. And growing up as a girl playing chess in Hungary and traveling for international competitions and such, how were you treated as a girl and now a woman in what unfortunately is a men's world?
I was always very welcomed at every place that I visited. Maybe the only difference I felt was that people would remember me, like, for instance, let's say you are at a tournament in France and somebody comes up to you and he tells you, oh, hi, Anna, do you remember we played the same tournament 2 years ago in Italy? And I'm like, no clue.
Right.
So being a female player, what I realize is that people remember you and you might not remember them because you are perhaps the 10%, 5%, 2% of the whole field, the women players. So, yeah, that's the only difference I realized. Besides that, no discrimination. I never felt being a minority, actually. Even if it's true that the numbers show that you are a small percentage of the whole field, I never felt like a minority.
Well, that's good to hear. I do know some women chess players whose experience hasn't been as 100% positive, but I'm glad to hear that yours was, and I hope that that's also encouraging to any girls or young women listening and, you know, thinking about getting into chess.
Yeah, they should definitely do that. And I think, as I said, chess is cool, and it's really something that if you like chess, you can like it no matter how old are you, no matter if you are a girl, a boy, a grandma, or a grandpa. You can take up chess at any age. Just try it and see if you like it. And if you don't like it, don't play chess. I mean, I'm not trying to make the whole world be a chess player or know how to play chess. Simply have a go at it and don't have these stereotypes in your head that this is something for weird boys who are not social.
Although they do tend to like it.
Yet some might be like the stereotypical chess player, but I think most of the people are not like that at all. So this stereotype too should be demolished. It's just not true anymore.
Yeah.
Just look at the world champion Magnus Carlsen.
No, it's true. And I do think it's changed over at least my lifetime. I mean, I just looking at the people who are at tournaments when I was a kid, I feel that they were a little bit more eccentric than I mean, you still have your eccentrics, but I think the percentage has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a positive development. So now you've been doing a lot of announcing. Do you have any? I mean, and you're busy with the Pro Chess League. We should talk about that. But I'm also wondering if you have any other gigs coming up.
Right now, the Pro Chess League is what takes up most of my time, and March is huge. It's all about Pro Chess League. Since we will know who will be the winner, and I think you talked about the Pro Chess League with Greg already. But I just wanted to add that I love his idea, and I think that this is a way to make chess more popular, because what we are suffering with is that classical games and classical tournaments are not engaging enough for a general audience. You can't put it on TV because nobody would watch a 5-hour stream of 5 chess games for 9 days. It's just not possible. And so I really like that Greg and Daniel Range, chess.com, they try to do something that is different. So it makes this Pro Chess League an e-sport, but at the same time, this is basically what people are into nowadays, and this is the future. So it's great that from the traditional chess tournaments, we also start to launch into something that is actually the future. So I love classical tournaments as a player, but as a promoter of chess, a streamer, show host, whatever I'm called, I do believe that they are right, that a classical tournament with classical time control, classical, everything classical, traditional, is not good enough for capturing the public. It's not good for people who might like it if we could present chess in a more visual, in a more entertaining way. So the Pro Chess League, shout out to the Pro Chess League, is one such idea how it could be better. How, of course, it's not to replace the World Championship, it's not to replace the Olympiads and all the other major super tournaments, but it's great to have new innovative ways of a chess competition that could capture the audience in a better way. And yes. So the Pro Chess League is great. I'm going to host it with Lawrence Trent on Wednesday once again, the Central Division. And I also did the predictions. I'm so bad at it. So I have 50% so far. I guess the winners of the matches, only 4 of the 8 matches. I hope I guess the winner at least, but I don't want to say it yet who is my pick for the overall winner of the Pro Chess League.
Yeah, well, one thing I just want to mention is that the numbers have been really good for the Pro Chess League, so hopefully this is only the beginning.
Yes, and it's the first season, so receiving this much attention, the world's best players playing, tweeting, blogging about what they are doing in the Pro Chess League is huge. And also, it's not only us, the official show hosts, that are streaming about the Pro Chess League, but many teams have their own streams. And how cool is that? I mean, how cool is that you see all these other fans or team members actually recording their Pro Chess League experience? So it becomes really a worldwide chess celebration.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Unfortunately, with the it not being classical chess, I only get to watch for a few hours on Wednesdays, but I do enjoy it when I can. So which match are you announcing Wednesday? Who's playing who?
Wednesday we will see the Marseille Migrants versus the London Lions, also the Stockholm Snowballs versus the London Towers. I was actually struggling to remember, because up until the last minute of the stream with Lawrence, we were announcing the other two teams, the Cannes Blockbusters and the Amsterdam Mosquitoes, as the winners. I mean, they were just winning the match and from actually knocking out the other teams, the two London teams. So this playoff system is just so dramatic. And I don't know how, but the two English teams came back from the tomb, literally, because they had to score more points from inferior positions. They were like a pawn down, exchange down. I don't know what else we saw, hanging rooks on the board and all sorts of crazy stuff that doesn't happen often. And they turned everything around and somehow they qualified. So it was really, really a dramatic experience. I posted about it on my Facebook because I still can't believe what happened. So if you guys missed it, you can check it on my Facebook page. There's a link to the stream. The last half an hour could be the most shocking chess experience you will ever see in terms of team competition.
Okay, I'll actually have to check it out myself. So is your Facebook page open to any fans of yours, or is it like for your friends only sort of thing?
I have a profile, but I barely updated. What I do on Facebook is my Facebook page. So it's called Anna Rudolph's Chess Page. And you can follow me there. I think you can like the page and then you get updates. I'm very active there and also on Twitter. @AnnaChess is my handle, and I tweet often. Also, I retweet often. I have Instagram as well, but I barely use it yet. I hope I will get to it more. Everybody tells me it's important. But so far, it's Facebook and Twitter. Mainly, I tweet, but Facebook, I like that I can actually write more than just a few characters. The tweets are just sometimes too short for me.
Yeah, makes sense. And check for the interview in New in Chess. I thought that it was a nice little window into your day-to-day life. So you mentioned a couple books that you're reading. Do you like to read?
I do. I'm still reading the same book that I said in New in Chess, 11 by Mark Watson. Actually, I didn't know this author, but I found the description of the book interesting, so I bought it before I read the Dan Brown books. Of course, I read the Central Trilogy. What else I read recently? I usually read things like with a delay. I somehow watch movies later. I read books later. I'm not up to date. I don't know what the trends are, but I do like to read. And also on YouTube, I would recommend I watch not TV, but YouTube. So that's why I'm talking about YouTube all the time. I love the TED Talks. I would tell everybody to watch TED Talks because you can learn so much from those speakers. I think that we are all gifted in something, and you should find your passion. You should find what you are passionate about and do that if you can as a way of living, or if you can't give up your work, then do it in your free time. But we are all good at something, and those speakers at the TED Talks do prove that to me all the time, that I learn something new with each and every talk. So if you just look for a TED Talk on a topic that you like, and I think that's just a great way of learning. I feel like nowadays, instead of going to university, I did go to university, I'm not against the school system, but you can learn every day from using the internet, not only for surfing on Facebook and checking Instagram photos, but using, for instance, YouTube in a smart way and typing in something that you are into. For instance, I would type in presentation skills. I would type in, I don't know, I even learned how to do my makeup from YouTube, which maybe most of the listeners are not into, but all I want to say is that you can learn anything from YouTube. So anything that you are into, I don't know, I fix things at home because I type in YouTube how to fix your microwave, and then you find it. So anything that you need, I think the internet is a great library for that.
Do you have a favorite TED Talk that comes to mind?
I'm very bad at remembering facts, so I can't tell you the names, but okay. I do share talks from time to time. So if you see something on my Facebook, that means that I liked it. Also, I like talk shows, American talk shows. I like The Late Show, The Late Late Shows. I love James Corden. I wrote that I would invite him for dinner in the New in Chess profile, but I also like, for instance, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyer. I think they're just hilarious.
So it sounds like you're watching these shows in English. When you read, what language do you generally read in?
English. Wow. Almost always English. I barely do anything in Hungarian, and I think that reflects why my Hungarian is so bad. When I go to Hungary and when I talk to my family, they always tell me that, Anna, you have an accent. I always say that I think I don't speak any language properly because I have a mix in my head. I try to switch between three languages constantly, being English, Spanish, Hungarian, and from time to time try to understand German and Russian. And this causes such a mess in my head. I appreciate the people who can actually keep up with all the languages they speak. I don't do that anymore. I used to have a Londoner accent. I lived in London for a year. And when I went back to university, everybody told me that, oh, Anna, you have such a Londoner accent. And I was like, oh my, that's great. Also, the people living in London, native speakers, they didn't know where I was from, but they thought that I was from somewhere around. So I took that as a great compliment, like, oh, I sound like a native speaker. And I know that I don't sound like a native speaker anymore because I speak Spanglish, I speak weird English, I speak weird Hungarian, and I'm confused.
Well, I can't judge your Spanish, but you speak English perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
thank you. I do read and listen in English all the time, also on purpose, because this is my work language. And as I said, I always believe that you should improve your skills no matter what. So with every day, I want to be a better speaker. That also means that I want to improve my English every day. So even now, I would look up words in the dictionary. I think it's never too late to learn. I don't think that I speak bad, but I want to keep it up at the same level or raise the level. So always go forward, never backward. Nice. With whatever skills you want to improve.
I feel like this is like a TED Talk in its own right.
Thank you. Maybe that I watch too much TED Talks.
Inspiring our audience, I'm sure. Well, I can't think of any other questions, Anna. Is there anything else you wanna mention before we let you go?
I think that has been it. It was a pleasure to be here. As I said before, I really appreciate your work, and I think that all the episodes I listened to were super interesting. I learned something new with each of them. I still have to listen to plenty others, but whenever I can, I will listen to your podcast. Also, shout out to the Full English Breakfast. I'm happy that they restarted their shows. I listened to them back then in 2010, I think, when they were producing regular podcasts. So I'm happy that now there's more chess material also in audio, because everything nowadays is becoming too visual, and podcasts are still needed for the moments when you actually want to focus on the words and not on what you see. So sometimes visuals can be distracting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited that they're back too. Part of the reason I made this podcast was it was just kind of driving me crazy that there one didn't exist. And I'm sure you can relate that when I produce these, by the time they come out, I don't really want to listen to the podcast that I make. So so even though I help create these, I don't actually listen to them once they're out. So now I have a chess podcast that I can listen to when I'm driving around, which was the original goal. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I know how it feels. I know what you mean. It's just always weird to listen to yourself. Though I do listen to myself to find mistakes and improve.
Yeah,
I always try to improve my mistakes.
I should probably do that, but not currently. Okay, well, Anna, I think we already touched on how people can reach you. So I just want to thank you again for coming on, and good luck with all your projects.
Thank you. The same to you.
Okay.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to Perpetual Chess. To hear more episodes, give feedback, or suggest guests, go to perpetualchesspod.com. If you like the show, please help me out by telling your friends and giving me a high rating on iTunes. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Perpetual Chess Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.